At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hello and welcome back to Tip TV Finance with me, Matt Brown. I'm joined down the line by Callum Pickering, who's the senior UK economist at Berenberg. Hello, Callum. How are you today?
I'm fine, thank you. Looking forward to the budget, of course, on Wednesday.
Good stuff. Yep. Yeah, well, let's kick off with that. It's Philip Hammond's first and, well, last spring budget coming up, because basically looking to move the UK budget, the annual budget, to autumn. What could we look out for on Wednesday coming out from Philip Hammond?
The major headline for the day will be that the economy has done better than we had expected since Brexit. The OBR will revise up its forecast for 2017 growth, probably to a little under 2%, I should imagine. That will mean that the Chancellor's forecasted borrowing over the next 5 years will be lower than we had expected in November. Will he do anything with the extra cash? I doubt it very much. The job is still only halfway done, considering that we're in our eighth year of economic expansion in the UK and the cyclically adjusted deficit is still some 3% of GDP. There's still a good few years of budget cuts ready in the bag. It's just a case of how does he announce those without making the outlook for fiscal policy sound too harsh.
I mean, certainly, as you said, the net borrowing is expected to be more favourable, giving a bit more power or cash in the bank for Hammond, but unlikely to go on a big spending spree on Wednesday. Are there any areas where we may see some tax cuts to really kind of boost the economy and boost sectors within the economy?
The problem is I really don't see anything in there that will be of any major economic significance, unfortunately. We'll see income tax allowances increased a little bit, probably to 11,500, and then the upper threshold from 45,000. There's probably going to be a 2.5% rise in state pensions. But then on the welfare aspects, what we gain through those tax and pension increases, the Chancellor takes away by freezing some parts of welfare in real terms for, in cash terms for another year. So with the increase in growth and inflation, it's actually a real terms cut. So there's nothing in there that really stimulates consumption in either direction. The smaller policy measures that we might get, like an increase in spending on R&D, or if he re-announces any policies from the National Infrastructure Plan, that really won't do enough. Any major fiscal initiatives regarding infrastructure policy will more likely than not be just rehashes of old policies and won't really reflect any new spending. The major problem is fairly straightforward. Real public sector spending has not increased in the UK since 2010, and it remains well below the 2009 peak. After the Lehman crisis, private sector firms have been more cautious than before in investing, but they've hired at an unprecedented rate. So the rate of growth in employment has far outpaced the rate of growth in capital investment. So there's a major capital shortfall in the UK. And with the UK facing major long-term risks from Brexit, the time is well placed for government just to step up its capital spending to boost productivity and boost long-term growth. And in fact, that will probably make it easier for the Chancellor to do his fiscal consolidation. But like we've seen over the last few years, those hopes will be dashed by the end of the budget announcement.
Mm-hmm. Understood. And something that's been in the papers of late with regards to business rates and small to medium businesses, seeing the potential rates increasing. Do we think that's a concern for the economy going forward, that these smaller businesses are going to be impacted quite a bit by rate rises?
Business rates is a funny one, because there was the weird two-year delay in the reassessment, the revaluation. So what we're expecting to see is of course, the sharp rise in business rates for firms in the southeast, where rateable values have gone up, and then a reduction in business rates, basically in the rest of the country, where rateable values have gone down. Of course, it's never good for companies struggling with rising input costs for an increase in any cost, it will cause damage. Certainly the cuts outside of London will benefit those companies, but I don't see how the Chancellor can really get away from that cut. We may see a review, a promise to rethink it maybe next year, but I think for the time being, if you're a firm in the southeast and your rateable value has gone up, you really will face higher borrowing costs, which in addition to higher input prices following the sterling depreciation, you may be in for a little bit of a hard time over the coming months until the government can rethink its policy.
That's good. I mean, we'll obviously look forward to Wednesday with the budget. Moving just swiftly over to the States, a lot of talk last week of potential rate rises coming from the Fed in March. Markets really kind of turned around and the expectation is a lot higher. How do you see that playing out over the coming weeks?
I think the Fed is good to go in March. There's no reason why they can't modestly raise the Fed funds rate by 25 basis points. I think thereafter they'll probably only go another two times this year. So the outlook for the year hasn't really changed for us. We expected three hikes, but we expected Q2, Q3 and Q4. Now we'll probably see Q1, Q3 and Q4. But remember, in real terms, the Fed fund rate will still be negative by the end of the year, considering the economy is in its seventh, eighth year of expansion at close to full employment and enjoying a nice cyclical upturn. Monetary policy in the US is far too easy, so we don't really worry that much if the Fed goes a little bit faster with rate hikes. It won't really do much to constrain US growth, and it won't really do too much to constrain global growth. The real risk is that if the US economy really overheats, if the Trump reflation really hits home and the Fed has to go much quicker than we expect, then if the Fed decides it has to create some unemployment to control inflation in the US, that could have wider implications, but that seems to be a low probability event for now. I don't really place too much risk on the market's outlook for the Fed funds rate and Fed policy over the coming year.
Well, lots to look forward to there, certainly in the UK and US over the coming weeks. That was Callum Pickering, senior UK economist at Berenberg. Thank you very much, Callum.
Thank you.